Hallelujah. If you would, turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as we continue our series on the gifts of the Spirit. My subject tonight and the next time I speak on Wednesday evening will be the gift of tongues for public ministry. The gift of tongues for public ministry. And I say that because the gift of tongues for public ministry is when a message is given out in the church and it's to be interpreted by the sister gift. Now, Brother James operates strongly, James Selvidge, in the gift of tongues. And I asked him tonight, I said, have you ever interpreted? He said, one time. And he was in his own private prayer devotion, and God had given him something that he needed at the time. My wife, Teresa, I used to use her as my example. I said, I've heard Teresa speak many times in her prayer language, but I have never heard her give a message in tongues in the church. I said, she has the prayer language. She's been baptized with initial effluence, speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. But she doesn't have the gift of tongues for public ministry. But I would hear her going through the house praying in tongues. And I said, man, that woman's full of the Holy Ghost. A lot of times she's praying for me. Hallelujah. And so in our family, which is wonderful to have a wife that can pray like that, how can two walk together except they be in agreement? And so it wasn't long after that I couldn't use her as my example anymore because she has given out messages in the church now, and that gift has manifested itself through her life. So what we're talking about tonight are the manifestation gifts of the Spirit. And that's why I keep coming back to this text over and over and over again. I want you to realize these gifts are not natural gifts. They're supernatural gifts, the nine manifestation gifts, or you could call them the supernatural surprises of the Holy Ghost, because he does those as he wills. And you have a will, and I have a will. I can pray in tongues at will, and that's my prayer language. I cannot give a message out in tongues to the church at will, because that is a manifestation gift. You cannot heal somebody at will, but you can pray using your faith anytime you want to, because you can will to do that. But as the Holy Ghost wills that these sign gifts, these manifestation, supernatural surprises operate in the church, then he does it, the Holy Ghost, through a human spirit that's been regenerated by the blood of Jesus. Amen? Now, we're going to start with 1 Corinthians 12 and 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. So this church is not ignorant. We've taught this subject for quite a while. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. It's called the manifestation of the Spirit. For to one is given, and look at this, by the Spirit, the word of wisdom, to another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. So these are supernatural gifts by the Holy Ghost. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers of various kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. Look at verse 11. But all these work it that the one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man, severally as he will. Okay? So the baptism in the Holy Ghost is the gateway or the doorway into the nine manifestation gifts. And tonight we're going to study the second inspirational gift, the gift of tongues for public ministry. Now, if you would look at your handout, there are nine gifts, three categories of the gifts. This is a breakdown that will help you to put these nine gifts in an order that you can remember them. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, they are revelational gifts where the Holy Ghost reveals something to you. And then there's faith, working of miracles, and gifts of healing. They are power gifts where the Holy Ghost does something through you, through his supernatural power. And then there are the three inspirational gifts, prophecy, he that prophesies speaking unto men, to edification, exhortation, and comfort. As 1 Corinthians 14:3. That is the Bible definition of this gift of prophecy. And then there is the gifts of unknown tongues for public ministry and the gift of the interpretation of those tongues. So tonight, we're going to look at this second inspirational gift, and There are three of those: the gift of prophecy, the gift of tongues for public ministry, and the gift of interpretation of tongues. Tonight I want to just hone in, and we're going to go in very detail, depth on this chapter. We're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where Paul begins to break these two gifts out: prophecy, edification, exhortation, and comfort, then tongues with interpretation that does exactly the same thing as the manifestation gift of prophecy. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the revelational knowledge from the great teacher himself, the Spirit of the living God. Illuminate our hearts and our minds. Let us see into what Jesus has prepared for his church. It's his church. It's to be a glorious, triumphant, victorious church where signs and wonders follow the preaching of the word. Jesus, you had a ministry. You taught, you preached, and you healed. And that's what your church should do today. The very same works that you did and the greater works that you sent us to do. And the church said in Jesus' name, amen. The gift of inspiration, they include prophecy, the gift of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Look at 1 Corinthians 14 and 2. But he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. So please note again that the gifts of inspiration, you have this gift called prophecy, the gift of tongues for public ministry, and the interpretation of those tongues. In the gift of tongues for public ministry, we are not talking about your prayer language where you pray unto God. We are not talking about the language that you receive when you were filled with the Holy Ghost and you spoke in tongues, which required no interpretation. You just had the initial evidence that you had been filled with God's Spirit. We are talking about a sign gift from God that does something very, very specific. Now, in 1 Corinthians 12 and 10, we read, to another, divers kinds of tongues. This is speaking to us of the gifts of the Spirit that are given to the body of Christ. What is the sign gift of divers kinds of tongues? Now, in the second inspirational gift, the gift of tongues for public ministry, or speaking with tongues as the Holy Ghost gives the utterance, it is a unique ministry to the church age in which we live. This gift is unique in that it began with the church age on the day of Pentecost. This particular gift was not available in other dispensations. The gift of tongues has only come into being in the age that we call the church age, which is the age that you and I are part of today. Seven of the nine manifestation gifts of the Spirit, such as the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gifts of healing, as well as the others in your handout there, they all existed in what we call the Old Testament or under the law. They existed at the time of the ministry of Jesus and before him and throughout the Old Testament. They did not dwell inside of men, however, like they do today. They came upon them. Now, I have, and you have, the Holy Ghost that come to abide in us forever. But however, I have learned in my own life that when the gifts of healing and those power gifts are going to operate through my life, I feel him come upon me. Others, they may feel fire in a hand or something. But however God manifests himself to you, that is when you will know that gift is getting ready to function through you. It is a supernatural gift. The only thing you can do is what we're doing. You can read the book, read the red, pray for the power. You can fast and you can pray. And you can make yourself a vessel of honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepare for every good work. But you cannot, no matter how hard you try, you cannot force these gifts that I'm talking about to work. They operate at the will of the Holy Ghost. And the church, we have a will. So my will is to walk as close to God as possible so I can be a candidate for the gifts to flow through. And we're growing, all of us, we're growing together. But in the Old Testament, these gifts did not reside within people. They came upon them. The Holy Ghost came upon Samson. The Spirit came upon David. The Spirit was inside of Daniel in such a way that he had great peace. So we know that that was a gift that was working in his life. He did nothing. He just stood there with the gift of faith, and God fought his battles for him. But that was a gift in the Old Testament that was functioning. But we don't live in that dispensation there. We live in a dispensation where the Spirit lives within us. He flows up from within us, and then he flows out from us. Hallelujah. Do you know what I'm talking about? He's in us, he lives in us, and he flows up and out of us to others. And when you learn to function in the Spirit like that, and you dare to operate in faith, you will begin to see signs and wonders in your life. And I'm going to put together, and I don't know when I'm going to do this, but I'm going to put a ministry of healing together, and I'm going to teach people how to do what Jesus said to do. It operates in my life. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that those gifts operate? Well, I want them operating in your life, because this is the church age where Jesus wants everybody in the church to operate in these gifts. These signs shall follow them that believe. Not the fivefold ministry. Not because you have some credential somewhere or you're part of some organization, but because you're part of the organism called the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're a believer, and if you're a believer, and you are, then signs and wonders follow believers. And that's what we're going to learn, and that's how we're going to operate in this church. Hallelujah. Jesus said the Holy Ghost would come to abide forever, that he would be in us. And he doesn't come and go, and he doesn't just show up on occasion, but he comes to abide forever inside of us. This is not in the handout, the notes that Brother Blue in the outline. Pull up John 7:38. I want you to see what Jesus is saying about believers. John 7:38. I hope that's it. Hallelujah. John 7:38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly, that's the spirit. Where's your spirit, man? It's not the human heart. Right there, the belly. Right out of your belly. Right in the innermost part of your being. Your spirit, you could not get saved by believing in your human heart any more than a rat could. You have to believe in your heart, which is your spirit, man. Your human heart wasn't born again. Your spirit that was dead in sin and transgressions, it was born again. And it's right down the middle. So out of your belly, right up out of your belly can flow rivers of living water. Look at verse 39. Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. So I want to ask you a question. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Paul goes down to Ephesus and he found 12 good men. They were all following John Baptist. They were churched. They were good men. They weren't sinners, but they needed a message. What was the message? The same message for you tonight if you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost and spoken in tongues. Have you received the Spirit since you believe? Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they speak with new tongues. So don't be afraid that you're going to say something. You are, as the Spirit gives the utterance. It's your mouth, but it's the Holy Ghost giving the language. And don't be afraid to speak what you hear in your mind in the Spirit. Like Sister Cricket, she came here, Presbyterian. She told Brother Tom, she said, I hear these strange utterances in my head. And she didn't know what it was. He said, that's the Holy Ghost. Go on and let it flow. And she did, and she was just filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. He comes, and he's never left her. He come to abide forever, and he gave her a boldness and an anointing. Even though she's a shy-type person, she has that Holy Ghost boldness. Amen? Give the Lord a clap offering of praise. Hallelujah. The gift of tongues began on the day of Pentecost, the day the church was born. And this gift has been identified with the church since its inception. The church was born on the day of Pentecost, and since that day, this gift has not left the church. None of the gifts of the Spirit have left the church. They are still in the church today because the Spirit of God has not left the church. Now, he's left some churches because they're not the true church. They try to regulate and dominate everything, and they will not let the Spirit of God move. Some of these churches, they haven't seen anybody born again in many years. Right now, there's a great struggle going on in the Methodist church. And there's some of them, they want to license homosexuals. Well, that's not the true church. They can call themselves the church. Buttigieg can get up and do his little jig and say he's a Christian. No, he's not born again through the Spirit, because Paul said, know you not, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And he goes on, he names adultery and fornication. He puts those sins there, and then he puts effeminates, homosexuals and lesbians. And then he says, these will not inherit the kingdom of God, liars and thieves and all kind of stuff like that, crazy stuff like people used to do when they were sinners. And then he turns around and says, and such were some of you. I can just hear that group saying, preach it, Paul, preach it, preach it. Tell them old sinners, tell them, tell them. And Paul turns around and says, such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of Jesus and by the Spirit of God. So the Holy Ghost, when he comes to clean house. He comes to clean up things. And if you're still struggling, don't worry about it. He's working on you. Hallelujah. I never preach condemnation. I tell people, keep coming to this altar. You just keep coming back. You might sin that sin. Jesus said, how many times should you forgive them? Peter said seven times. He said, no, seven times 70. 490 times a day. Or just live in a spirit of forgiveness. And don't be so harsh on people. The Holy Ghost, he's kind, and he leads, and he works with people where they are, and he wants his church to have the same kind of love. That does not mean we endorse sin. It means we point out what the sin is, and then we say, you can be free. And that's the true ministry right there that God wants us to have in the church. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And he stood at that Jacob's well, and he stood where the woman was caught in adultery. He said, I don't condemn you. And he told one of them, go and sin no more. At least the worst thing come on you. So I have to preach the truth. Get out of the sinning business. Get into the business of grace. And don't let a worst thing come on you. Hallelujah. If you keep walking with God, I promise you a worst thing won't come on you. The greatest thing will come on you. God will sanctify you wholly. Then God will fill you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. Now, we know that contrary to what some may teach, that the gifts of the Spirit, they're still functioning in the church. We know that because God is manifesting the gifts in our midst. Look at the manifestations we've had. We've had some wonderful, wonderful deliverances in this church. We've had people transformed by the power of God. And that's showing us that Jesus is still in his church because God is doing his work among those people that will allow him. The sign gift of divers tongues, it is a supernatural utterance from God. I say that over and over because some people think, well, it's just me. And the devil will tell you a thousand times, that's just you. Well, it is. It's my human spirit. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. And when you allow God by faith, God will give you supernatural utterances. So we know that the gifts are still functioning in the church. The sign gifts of divers tongues, it functions here. It comes from God, and it comes through the person of the Holy Ghost. It comes from God, it comes through the person of the Holy Ghost, and then it comes through your human spirit, just like you came through your parents. That's how you got on this planet. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost, that's how the gifts function. They come through him, through our human spirit. It's directed through the spirit of man. From the Holy Ghost, through man's spirit, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And in this gift, God uses a supernatural language. And that's identifiable from other languages because you speak in something other than your natural language or your native tongue. This gift is a divine spiritual communication that comes from God. It comes through the Holy Ghost, through our born-again human spirit, and it flows out of our mouth, these inspirational gifts, because they're speaking gifts. Some people even call them speaking gifts. But I like the word inspirational. It just sounds so good. Hallelujah. Now, for this reason that this gift is so powerful, and of tongues, the baptism, because out of this flow all the manifestation gifts. And that's one reason the devil fights it so hard. He does not want you filled with power, understanding the gifts of the Spirit, functioning in the gifts of the Spirit, setting the captive free. And you know, I've been in this organization at least 24 years. I have never once, not one time, been to a seminar for pastors on the gifts of the Spirit. Not one time. So we are way, 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 way behind. So I just decided I'll take it upon myself years ago, and I started teaching these, and God started opening up revelation to me. Now, I gave you a handout tonight. Paul's attitude toward tongues, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I want you to take that because Brother Tom Bland, he has a gift where God pulls certain, extracts certain things out of the scriptures. And he's handed me several of these where the Holy Ghost says, read this verse, this part of this verse, this part of this verse, this part of this verse. So if you will look at this, these are some things that I got a hold of a little bitty pamphlet years ago. It's probably about that big, one little bitty one. It was written by Herbert Carter. And it sparked something in me. And this right here is taking verse 1, desire spiritual gifts. Verse 2, he that speaketh in unknown tongues speaketh unto God. Verse 2, in the spirit, in tongues, he speaks mystery. So I want you to take that home. I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to study that. And if you will look on the second page there, what I have done is taken Paul puts tongues and prophecy side by side. That's why I want you to stick with that scripture on prophecy. It is the only definition you will find in the Bible on prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14:3, he that prophesied speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. And Paul takes tongues and prophecy, puts them side by side. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:2-3. Tongues are uttered to God. Prophecy is given for the benefit of man. Now, you can read that all day long, and you're going to have a hard time pulling that out. But I've extracted it for you. 1 Corinthians 14:3-4. That which is spoken in tongues is not understood. All prophecy is understandable. It is spoken in a known language. Verse 3-4, tongues edifies the speaker. Prophecy is for the benefit of the hearer and the speaker. The speaker in tongues is in communion with God. The gift of prophecy is to men to edify, exhort, and comfort. So, 1 Corinthians 14:5, tongues are never equal to prophecy unless someone interprets. Tongues which are interpreted are equal to prophecy because the church is being edified. So people like to take that verse and said, greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh in tongues, period. That's not a period there. It's a word except. Except they be interpreted that the church may be edified. So I want you to stick very closely with 1 Corinthians 14:3 as your definition for prophecy. And I promise you, you will never, never, never go wrong there. Verse 22, 1 Corinthians, look at part 5. Tongues are a sign for the sinners, for unbelievers. Prophecy is for those that believe. Why is it for those that believe? Because it speaks to those that have been born again, edify, comfort, and exhort. It goes right back to that definition. And the Holy Ghost revealed this to me years ago. I've read a lot of books about a lot of definitions. I found one today by Owen Weston. A lot of stuff he puts I don't agree with because it doesn't go back to the scriptures. Men's opinions. And you cannot go on an opinion. You go on what the Bible says. And that's the greatest thing you can ever do is to find out what does the Bible say. And I study people that know Greek and Hebrew. And I'm not a Hebrew and a Greek student, but I got a strong concordance and I got enough sense to look it up and see if the word they're using lines up with what the Bible says. And I've got something that I had one of my college professors do for me. And I had memorized Isaiah 53:4-5. He was wounded. Surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That word there, something struck me. And then I read Matthew 8:16-17. It says, when the evils come, they brought on him many that were possessed with devils. He cast out the spirit with his word and healed all that was sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and by our sicknesses. Well, that doesn't. Matthew 8:16 is the greatest commentary you will ever find on Isaiah 53:4-5. And so I took this to a Greek and Hebrew student, and he tells me what they teach in college. It goes back to the Septuagint. They were using the Septuagint in the days of Jesus. But if you really study someone that knows Hebrew, they translated that word, surely he has borne our griefs. That word there is macabre. That it actually means sickness. Everywhere else in the Old Testament, is Hebrew, it's translated sickness. And surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That choli is the word for sickness and grief. Surely he's borne our griefs, choli, our sickness, and carried our sorrows. That word is macabre, and that word means that he has borne our pains. Now, how many of you got pain tonight? Okay. So now when you begin to see the real deal of what word was used, sometimes things were not translated exactly right. But if you can find a Hebrew or Greek student that can give you some understanding, it will open your eyes. Just like I saw when I read Matthew 8:16, that commentary did not agree with what they had translated. And over the years as I've studied, God has opened my understanding. When you understand the power of the name of Jesus, and you understand the authority of the name of Jesus, and you understand you have power of eternity to use that name, and you understand the love of God, then you will start moving into a dimension in the spirit you have never, never enjoyed before. I love to see the manifestations of the gift. So let me get back, you know, to the gift of tongues. It is one of the most misunderstood of all the gifts in the church. Now, you would think that people would fight the other gifts of the Spirit, but in all the world, there is no gift that's opposed by the church anymore that I know of than the gift of tongues. And now, there's a reason for that. That's because the devil is afraid of it, and he opposes it and tries to keep everybody fighting over it. He does that because the tongues being filled with the Holy Ghost, it is the gateway into the manifestation gifts. And we Pentecostal people, we think, well, I have arrived. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. And they stop. It's just the beginning. It's just the doorway into what God has prepared for his church. Now, he's a wonderful gift, the baptism in the Holy Ghost. But that's not the apex. That's not the stopping point. That's the starting point. Well, all these nine manifestation gifts that I have broken down for you so you can see them, how there are three groups of threes. That three groups of threes and the Beatitudes. I've got it all laid out. There are three groups of threes in the fruit of the Spirit. So as you begin to study and show yourself approved, you will find that God is a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Everything in the universe is set up on threes. And if you dissect it and look at it, you'll find God in every bit of it. Hallelujah. Let me go on. Go give God a clap offering of praise. Hallelujah. Now, when you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, you will speak with tongues. This is the initial filling as you speak in tongues, and the Holy Ghost gives you the vocabulary or the utterance. Don't be afraid to speak. Now, I have some good instruction when I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I got saved on a Sunday. I got sanctified on a Wednesday. It was like a bulletproof shield went around me. I have felt that protection all my life since I got sanctified. And then I went back to church and I told them, I said, I come to get the baptism in the Holy Ghost. I'm not leaving here. It's Sunday morning. It's 12 o'clock. I'm not leaving here till I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. You're talking about some praying saints. I'm going to tell you, man. They got around me and they started praying. And it wasn't long, and my mother had given me some good instruction. She said, if God gives you an utterance, son, you speak it in faith. Open your mouth and speak what God gives to you. And when I heard it, I just spoke it. Now, for one solid week, I could not get a utterance. I didn't hear anything. I didn't hear anything. I mean nothing. After that, I'd get up and pray before I went to work. I would pray during my lunch hour. I would pray way into the night. Nothing. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night came. And I went to my mother's home. And I said, Mother, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost, and I can't get an utterance. And she's playing. Sometimes people, they get filled with the Holy Ghost, they get blessed when they're in the church. And then she goes on and she tells me, she said, well, there's some people, they don't pray in tongues after that. I said, look, Mother, I said, my life is so messed up. Now, I don't know all this stuff is in the Bible. I said, I've got to be able to talk spirit to God. I got some things I got to work through. And I need to be able to talk in the Holy Ghost. And she said, son, let's pray. And she put her little hands over my hands, and she prayed. I don't think she got a minute worth done. And the Holy Ghost, that generation, they had the snaps and the jerks. You know what I'm talking about? Woo, 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 glory. They did. That's the way the Holy Ghost manifested. And she snapped back like that, and she snapped forward. And when she snapped forward, I was slain in the spirit, lying right there in the den in my mother and daddy's home, the home place. They all went to bed. That was about 7, 8 o'clock at night. I don't know. I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, singing in tongues. Hallelujah. I've been singing in tongues ever since. So many people, they're afraid to speak in tongues. They say, well, that's me. Well, certainly it's you. But I'll tell you something else. Out of that one experience where I sought God, I would not let go of God. All 9 manifestation gifts have operated in my life from that moment to this at one time or another. There are some that are stronger than others, but all 9 of them. And I gave you Lester Sumrall's definitions. And I use his definitions because I have studied others. I have gone through their studies. I've gone through them, and I've taken them back to the Bible. I love this about Dr. Lester. He said, take what I've given you, add to it as the Holy Ghost reveals it to you. He said, I can't give it all to you. He said, take what I've given and go back to the Bible with it. And I found his stuff was right on time. And he was a great teacher sent to the church. Matter of fact, when I got saved, I said, God, I am so far behind. I need somebody that I can walk with that will teach me about the power of the Spirit. And it just come out of my spirit. I'm on a quest to know God. And out of that, God sent Dr. Lester Sumrall to me, and I've got stacks of his books, teaching syllabuses. And I take that stuff and I study it. Matter of fact, I just unveiled some of it today. Got Kenneth Hagin in there. Found 2 great big study guides on the gifts of the Spirit. And I've studied these men because these were men that knew. And then you can get somebody that they know something that they've studied from somebody else. But they don't know what these men knew because they got it through the laying on of hands and through experience on the battlefield. Well, I got a lot of mine through the laying on of hands, but a lot of it came through experience. But every time I have an experience, I take it back to the Bible to see what does the Bible have to say about that. Now, once you're filled with the Holy Ghost and you have him in his fullness, then you can function in all of the 9 manifestation gifts. And that's why the devil fights tongues so hard. God wants us to be filled with the fullness of Christ. And when we are, we will be full of the Holy Ghost, just like Jesus. Let me say that again. God wants us to be filled with the fullness of Christ. And when we are, we will be filled with the Holy Ghost, just like Jesus was. And when we're full of the Holy Ghost, the works he did, we will be able to do because we have the power and the authority to use his name. If tongues did not cause the devil so much trouble, he wouldn't fight them so hard and he wouldn't pay so much attention to it. But the baptism in the Holy Ghost, it will change your life and the dynamics of your Christian experience forever. And tongues and gifts of tongues, they will do dynamic things in your life. And because of that, the devil, he fights this gift. Now, I'm going to put a little marker right there, and I'm going to pick this up next week. I knew I would not be able to get over that. But I made 40 of these handouts, Paul's gifts. I'm sorry, Paul's attitude toward tongues, 1 Corinthians 14. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it lists, Pastor Ricky, it lists the manifestation gifts. And then we go into chapter 13. But right before that, Paul says, desire spiritual gifts and be zealous of spiritual gifts. He said, yet I'm going to show you a more excellent way. He said, though we speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not love, we become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. He goes on to say, if I give my body to be burned and have not love. So here's the deal. Your faith works by love, loving other people. But here's the greatest thing that God revealed to me recently. Like I said, he just opens things up to us. Your faith works by love when you understand how great God's love is for you. Put Romans 8:32 up, brother. I want you to see just how much God, your Heavenly Father, I don't have the words to give it to you, but Paul, he gave it to us. And here it is. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up. He delivered him up on the cross for us all. How shall he not? If God would give Jesus to save your lost soul and redeem you back to himself, God said, I won't spare anything to get you an answer. If I didn't spare my son, whatever your deepest need, whatever the cry of your heart, if I did not spare my son, I will not spare anything to get an answer to you. Let us stand.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare.
We love you, Lord.
Our living
hope. Thank you so much for the gifts of the Spirit, Master.
Your presence, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for your presence. That the Holy Ghost, he comes to abide with us forever.
I've tasted and
thank you, Lord, for Jesus and his blood.
Of the sweetest
and the mystery,
of love,
Christ in us.
Where
the hope
my heart
of glory
becomes free.
Thank you so much, Lord, that we are the temple that you now dwell in. But God said, I will walk in them. I will dwell in them. I will be their God. They shall be unto me a people. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory.
Woo!
Holy Spirit,
you are.
Oh, we welcome you here. Oh, we welcome you,
come flood this place.
Come flood this place. Come flood the atmosphere. Glory. We welcome your presence, your miracle working power.
God is what
glory to
God.
We welcome the revelational power. Welcome the power gift. We welcome the inspirational gift. Hallelujah. Welcome you, Lord. Hoshaka barashaya.
Your presence. Hoshaka
riyatalam randa rabiya shandariyaya. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. For the Spirit of God has given them liberty. And this is the year of liberty. Hallelujah.
Your glory. Glory, God,
glory.
Is what
do what you couldn't do before. God said, I'm going to give you signs and wonders. If you had an aching problem in your body, do what you couldn't do by faith. Just like Brother Milton. Brother Milton, I keep encouraging my. I say, I know you have your struggle. Keep coming to this altar. There he stands again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
More aware.
Glory
of
to
your
God.
Presence.
Be free. Liberty. Liberty.
Let us
liberty.
Experience
glory to God.
The glory
break every chain,
of your
Lord.
Goodness.
Break every chain.
Let us become more aware.
Hallelujah.
Of your presence.